All right, everyone, welcome to another episode of the Gaming Podcast. We're back from the TGA's episode 17. Sammy, thank you so much for holding our city afloat. You know, how hard is that? What did you, anything crazy happen?
It was heavy, you know, I stopped three apocalypses, the sun almost exploded, but it's all good.
Wow.
I saved it. Yeah.
Thank you, Sammy.
We appreciate you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah. how's everything else going though, Sammy?
It's going good. Just, you know, doing the thing, working. I did try out Lethal Company finally, which is really fun. Oh. And then trying out a couple other games too, like Valheim, and yeah, lots of fun.
Wow, Valheim, that is, I haven't heard that name in a long, long time. I've been waiting for them to like bring out, like they had a map that was just there, but they're like, oh, we'll fill it up later. It's been like 2 years, two years. I'm like, is it filled yet? And apparently they finally did it or something like that. So I might have checked that out.
Yeah, myself. My backlog, like I need to start diving more into it. So I'm trying.
Make a list and you will see how bad your backlog is.
Like, I don't want to make a list.
Do it. Just so you know how much time it will take to finish all of it. For me, this year alone, 42 days.
And still. Oh, man.
Yeah, just for this year's list of games. So, I don't know. Steve Saylor, how about you, my man?
Good. I'm just, you know, finally sort of recovering from, you know, jet lag a bit. Mm-hmm. But all in all, good, you know. Got my birthday coming up tomorrow. Don't know what I'm gonna do, but you know, it's gonna be good.
Yeah. This is coming on your birthday, so perfect timing. Look at that.
Everyone
wish Steve a happy birthday in the comments.
That's all I want to say. Right, happy birthday, Steve, right now in the comments.
Hey, I'm just saying, you gotta leave a comment for, you know, to wish me a happy birthday. If the president of Nintendo can wish me a happy birthday, so can you.
Poor Doug. I don't think Doug's ever gonna talk to me ever again. I'm like, Doug, come here. Come here, Doug. Just dragging the man all over the place. Come meet my friend here. Come meet this friend. No, it's this guy's birthday. Doug's like, He's like, I'm going to pick up my award and leave the show. That's it.
I mean, I think you're underestimating the amount of power you have if you're able to do that.
I'm not talking about it. Like, it's a hype thing, you know? You just walk up and be like, meet my friend, you know?
So, oh, yeah. And he's like, no, please, I'm so old. Oh God, Don't hurt me. My bones will turn to dust.
And my name is just Bowser. I'm not actually Bowser, please.
I mean, there was a thing. He kind of, like, once the Game Awards kind of happened, he kind of just disappeared.
Yeah, I don't think anyone really saw him again. Yeah,
never saw him. He got his wins. He got his trophies, and he's like, deuces, I'm out.
Yeah. Peace, I'm out.
Yeah, it was during the pre-show, he's like, I don't need to stay here for this.
I think Reggie stayed around longer than he did.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Steve V. I almost said Steve Saylor again, but Steve V. How's it going?
Man, I'm a super tired boy. Like Steve, I'm still recovering from the travels and the excitement of the Game Awards, but you know, I'm excited to talk to you all about it. You know, here for the podcast. But yeah, it was getting home and right back into like a whole bunch of, like a deluge of work. But also there was like a whole bunch of games that came out, you know, in the 4 day span that we were in LA that I was just catching up on and tried out the finals, tried out the new Fortnite modes and everything. And then we got other games that I'm sure we'll talk about in like the recap and stuff like that. But yeah, it's just been utterly busy. I wouldn't have it any other way.
Absolutely. Like, definitely the time difference. Like, you know, yeah, it's 3 hours and everything. And like, I know we were there for a short time, but like coming back here, I'm like, I need a nap. Like, and then next thing you're like, what time is it? And everything, like that meme of the guy getting in his bed looking like that.
It's weird because like I've been like, I mean, as you guys basically travel just as much as I do. So it's like I've been traveling to the West Coast. I thought I was kind of used to, oh, it's only a 3 hour time difference. It's fine. It's just whatever. But this is the one trip that I came back and I'm like, I am just exhausted. Yeah. And it hit me a lot harder than I thought it was.
Oh my God. And on our flight back, I guess Steve wasn't sitting too far from me, but I was sitting at the exit, the emergency exit aisle and everything. Nice. And I had this one guy, and he clearly went down there for modeling because he kept checking himself out the whole flight.
Seriously?
And then any opportunity he had to like get up to see if like to use the bathroom, he kept doing like this spin, like a modeling like practice spin. I'm like,
oh, hell yeah.
I'm like, wow.
I love that.
Can you just sit down?
I had no idea. I mean, I had a couple in like, I guess like a 1 year old, like
yeah, he had a baby on your left side. Yeah.
I mean, I gotta say is, you know, thank God for noise canceling headphones.
On our flight, we had service dogs on there. You would never have known. They were just under their seat and like they're just, you know, just chilling out. But this
Service dogs are trained.
Here's a tip. If you ever see a service dog and they're near their person that they're supposed to be helping, please, I beg you, PSA, don't ever go up and ask to pet. They are working. Yeah. You do not want to disturb them when they're working. Yep. So just as a tip, 100%. I know you want to pet them because they look gorgeous. And I would love to be able to pet all of the dogs, but
they were very, very gorgeous dogs. But as for this man, sit down. You're not some top model. Yeah, okay, buddy.
That was weird. Only coming from LA though. Right.
Oh, 100%. Like his whole flight, he kept like his phone was bright, checking all the photos he was taking. I'm like, no one cares. Like,
little story from my trip back home. Again, I took the red eye, so I boarded my flight at like 10:30, or takeoff was like 10:30 at night, which is then I guess like 1:30 here. I was just in the thick of it in my own headspace, like just donezoed. And I sit down and the gentleman next to me, I guess this is a gentleman and his wife, and he turns to me and he goes to like introduce himself to me. Very polite, very nice and everything. But he introduces himself as Steve. And I could not comprehend that in the headspace I was in at the time I was in. I was like, yeah. And he was like, my name is Steve. I was like, what? My name is Steve. And then immediately he tried to like do the whole like, you know, spiel of like, oh, this is my wife, blah, blah, blah. We're doing this. And I was like, okay. And I feel bad because I had to be a little bit rude because I immediately put my earbuds back in. I was like, okay. I couldn't have this conversation at 1 a.m.
I bet he's from like a small town or something like that.
Yeah, guaranteed. Probably. Yeah.
My husband does that. He talks to people, and I'm like, I have not talked to anyone I've sat next to for like the last 15 years.
You know what?
I've done it a couple times, but at 1:30 in the morning, I'm sorry. Like I couldn't explain that to this man. He was a nice gentleman, but I was not having it.
You know, you go to Hollywood and it changes, Steve. Look at that.
I know.
Probably. Well, no. But also, here's the thing. I mean, I'm the same thing. It's like I don't want to talk to anybody beside me. Like I'm just like, hey, I'm doing my thing. It's like I just want to get this flight over with. I actually also think in our flight there was a love connection that was happening on our flight. So in the row in front of me, it was like I was kind of like the row in behind, I guess, like the business class seats, and it's the one that basically that, you know, that has the curtain that you can't really see past or whatever. But there was like an older gentleman on the aisle on one side and an older woman on the aisle on the other side, and the flight attendant basically came up to both of them and said, we actually have a couple that is coming on the flight that they don't have seats together. But your seats are basically the only ones that are empty in the business section. Would you be okay with basically share, like, you know, sitting together? And at first they were kind of like, no, not really. Like the guy was like, I've got asthma, and he was like, I can't really, you know, move that much. And then the woman was like, well, I can't really move because I have mobility issues. And so, but the guy was like, you know, eventually kind of was like, the guy was like, you know what? I'll get up and I'll sit in the window next to the woman. They talked the entire flight. Like they were like having a like deep conversation the entire flight, and it sounded like they were having a good time. So I'm just, there might be something happening at the end of that flight. I don't know, but it was kind of, you know, every time I would look over, I'm like, oh, they're still chatting. Well, that's kind of cute. I like that.
That's what the old movies, the romantic comedies out there, they call that a meet cute.
Yeah, I was actually
here to celebrate that, you know.
Yeah. All right.
So we go from supermodels to, you know, Steve being rude to babies to a meet cute. I love it.
It's kind of funny though. You mentioned that people just started to talk to you because, like, for some reason, people are like, oh, this guy, let me just stroke a conversation. I'm like, no, please don't talk to me. Mm-hmm. And it's always so early in the morning and like traveling to like, you know, either TwitchCon or PAX West or whatever. Like, I think like last time I had like a middle seat, I was in between a couple. I'm like, do you want to switch seats? They're like, no, I see her enough. The man said about his wife.
But I was going to talk over like, you the entire time. Yeah,
and it's just talking over me or talking to me. And I'm being like, can you believe the way she's playing her? I'm like, dude, like, I'm not a marriage counselor. Yeah. I'm just a guy going on a flight right now. I'm just trying, and like every time I have my headphones on, I'm like, okay, you're done. And then he just starts, I'm like, oh, all right, sorry, another conversation. Okay,
like, I get it. Is, you know, is the act of this not that's just like, the global I'm not like, talking to you?
This conversation's over. Let's end this now. You know, oh my, it's
you know, this is why they call us the New York of Canada. Because we're just all very antisocial people in the city.
But we're so polite. I mean, but we're so polite. They were like, "Yeah, I'm sorry."
No, here's the thing. It's like we're polite, but we're kind. We're not polite. That's basically what it is. Like, we can be kind. We're like, you know, we'll be nice, but we don't need to be polite. So, just saying.
That's fair.
I mean, I will still be like, I'm sorry. I don't want to listen to this anymore.
See, that? But you started off with, I'm sorry. Like, you're apologizing. So you're kind, but you ain't polite.
I mean, that's kind of polite, I think. I don't know. It'd be like, listen, I don't want to hear you talk. No, polite is
sort of like, you know, you holding your door, the door for someone, or, you know, it's just like, you're like, you offering to be able to help someone, you know, put their stuff up on in the overhead compartment, like stuff like that. Like, yeah, you can do that. We do that occasionally,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
But it's just like, we don't have to do it. We don't do it all the time. So if you're wondering,
the model guy found every excuse to get up. He's like, oh, let me help you with your bag. And then he's kept spinning. I'm like, why are you spinning? Just
stop spinning.
Oh my gosh. Well, Sammy has did a really good job with the TLDR. I threw it in our notes right here. Just last minute, or if you didn't see it just now. But of the what happened at the Game Awards, it just seemed like a blur to me what happened at the show. So, but for, you know what, Stevie, you're going to take this because it was your first time at the show. How was your experience?
Well, I guess it's very divided. I mean, my first, like, the experience of going to it, mm-hmm. Unbelievable. I think it was a lot of fun. I mean, we got to celebrate as like a podcast. A lot of us, you know, got to hang out throughout the weekend and celebrate. And I got to also see some friends I've, you know, never met before, you know, just interacting online and stuff like that, or friends I haven't seen in years. So that alone, I think, was awesome. Definitely worth the experience. Definitely, I definitely encourage people to go out, maybe not even just for the Game Awards, but go to something like that, to kind of go out of your way and just go to like a community event as big as the Game Awards at some point, because I do think that it's definitely worth it. As far as the Game Awards as a whole, I'm kind of split. As far as like, what if it's a Game Awards, then there were no awards as far as I'm concerned. It was kind of just the game show. But that being said, I mean, there were some obvious highlights. I know we're probably going to talk about some of them, but I feel like we're now at like a distinct crossroads, whereas, you know, prior years were always, you know, giving Jeff Keighley and his team some valid criticism and stuff like that, hoping for a new and better year, some refinements here and there. Maybe it's pacing, maybe it's, you know, ad placement, whether or not the announcements and reveals are big enough. This is the year where I was like, oh, someone needs to sit down with this man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Someone needs to counsel this team, because I do think that we are now at the precipice of it becoming too big for Jeff to kind of cater to what the original vision for the show was even supposed to be, which was an award show. It was supposed to be something eclectic, something that you gathered all the industry members and fans alike into one audience and celebrate the last 12 months of gaming, broadcast that to the masses out there, and it's just one giant celebration. This year really felt like, oh, we don't even care about the awards to a certain extent. This is E3. This is winter game fest, if we're gonna call it anything. And it's just really disappointing to see. As much as I love to, you know, the moments of seeing, you know, the Ragnarok DLC or Hideo Kojima and Jordan Peele up on stage and everything, I was like, okay, this is getting away from what I want from the award show, which is a celebratory thing. I know I'm probably alone in that, in terms of like the majority of people out there, they're watching from home on the comfort of their couch to see the reveals and big spectacles and everything like that. But yeah, it was just kind of getting over like the initial high of the entire award show. I was like, oh yeah, yeah. It didn't really do the gaming industry a service this year. And I feel like, yeah, that's just a conversation I think that we need to have moving forward of like what Jeff Keighley needs to do better.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Like, of course, being there and, you know, like talking to people and everything. But when like the dust settles, you're like, wait, what the hell did I just watch? Just type of thing. And yeah. I the whole vision of the Game Awards was just like a celebration of video games. And it kind of, I kind of like replayed a scenario in my head, like, you know, growing up for, you know, the majority, like the look of people who got into video games was like, you know, they weren't the cool kids, for example, or and everything. And now you have like all these celebrities coming in. And I feel like you're kind of like, it's like, oh, like cool kids are here, so I don't need you guys anymore type of scenario. And I'm sure.
Wrap it up.
You know, exactly. Yeah. So and I feel like I know that's not what Jeff is doing and everything, but like, and I understand like, oh my God, we have this celebrity. I get that excitement and everything, but you're kind of losing the identity of what the show really is. And like, I feel like the show doesn't know what it's trying to be right now. And it's like to tell like the people who put all the hard work this year of putting games together or dedicating a game to someone who passed away, and then you're telling them to please wrap it up. And like yes, that's Jeff on his team doing that. And he also claimed that he told the team to kind of like relax in that
room, to ease up on it.
But I couldn't tell the difference. There was no ease up at all whatsoever. It's kind of sad to see that it. Especially after a year where people have lost almost like, I think it was almost 10,000 like layoffs this year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And nothing was addressed. This is the time to like address that. And like, you know, kind of like all eyes are on the show, and like you could have brought up that statement or brought up like, hey, this is what's going on. Hopefully things could change. Let's try to like, you know, fix this industry and make it like, make sure it's stayed on set on course and everything. And I don't know, it was kind of sad to see. And hopefully for the 10th annual, which he really announced when it's gonna be happening next year, hopefully things will balance out a little bit. So
there was one specific moment, and it just keeps replaying in the back of my head every single time I think and analyze the award show. And it really has to do with like the placement and the love and attention a lot of these categories were given. And I know, Steve, you're going to bounce off this one immediately, but it was definitely the accessibility award where, and I'm not throwing shade at Sydney Goodman. She was just reading the teleprompter. Mm-hmm. That's her job and everything. But during the when she was announcing the winner for the accessibility award, there was the moment where she was like, the Game Awards really, you know, wants to prioritize or I'm paraphrasing here, by the way, prioritize the accessibility in games and everything. And I remarked to you in Marcel with some snark. Mm-hmm. I was like, so much so that they are putting this in the pre-show.
Yeah.
It's like accessibility deserves so much more. Indie games deserve so much more. There were so many categories in there that was like, why are we relegating this to a 5 minute or a 30 second, if we're being realistic, just boom, 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 boom. Next. Okay. Now it's the ads. It's like, ugh.
Yeah. And I'll say the about the accessibility thing too. It's like, it is disappointing that essentially that, for the past few years, basically since the category was added to the Game Awards, the Accessibility Award was always part of the main show. It was always on the main stage. And then to see it not only being kind of like one of those, what could basically almost one of those throwaway categories, to being just presented in the pre-show. Yes, granted, they had, you know, two people from Turn 10, Nihon and Katrin, basically able to accept the award. Actually, I think probably they were the only two winners that actually did not get played off because it was in the pre-show. But that kind of shows just the priority of the Game Awards itself, is that it's, oh, the pre-show just really doesn't matter as much as the main show does. And they like it. It just seemed as if that we're okay. We're even pushed from the main stage to the side stage, to potentially next year, like having no stage, with maybe the category not even going to be presented to anybody. And I understand that to a certain degree, that if you're going to do like one of those quick, here's the nominees and here's the winner, type things, and you just and kind of quickly breeze through them. I can understand if there was nobody there to accept the award and they weren't able to make it. I mean, famously, From Software said that they were not going to be at the Game Awards this year. That's why I think that's why they had like Timothy Chalamet to present the Game of the Year, because normally they do have the previous winners present that award each year. But I can understand that maybe some other devs weren't able, or no one from the studios were able to be there to accept specific awards. However, I know for a fact, and I think we, even the three of us, we knew for a fact because we met them. The folks from Sabotage, who made Sea of Stars, who mm-hmm. was nominated, and also won.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They were there, and yet they didn't even get a chance to go up on stage to accept an award amongst their peers in a category that it was highly contested, because yep. there was so many great games that were in there this year. And to see them basically like they were there and they basically were just one of those throwaway categories. It really kind of makes you wonder, what is the priority of the Game Awards? Is it mm-hmm. a showcase? Is it an awards? I can understand, you know, trying to find that balance of, okay, you know what? Jeff needs sponsors in order to be able to even keep the thing running at its current sort of state. I understand that. I can also understand that basically this is kind of like for the general audience, people are tuning in, not necessarily for the awards, or tuning in for the announcements. I can understand that. But to kind of there's just no balance there. And I think that the pendulum kind of swung so far into the Hollywood entertainment side of things that Jeff or his team basically forgot about what really matters at the Game Awards. And I think mm-hmm. that even everyone that I talked to after the Game Awards, I've been there, going there for the past 3 years. Yeah, there's been some, you know, sometimes there's always like, you know, people like mentioning after the show, it's like, it was kind of disappointing they didn't do this or whatever. That was like for the past 2 years I went, there's, you know, but for majority of the time, most people basically say, yeah, no, the show was good. This is the first year that everyone, I'm talking 100% of the people I talked to, this was the topic of conversation. Every single person. From developers to creators to people in the media, everybody. And I hope that Jeff is like not, you know, putting his head in the sand and just like, nope, forget it. I like, you know, you don't know what it's like kind of deal. It's like, yeah, no, we know what it's like because in all pretense purposes, we've been there to a certain degree. Sure, we don't know what it's like to be able to run an event or a show like this and like in a big, huge theater that is normally reserved for, you know, giant concerts or showcases or, you know, even larger awards. But, you know, it's like he's been doing it for 10 years or even longer since like in the Spike TV days. He should know what it's like to build like what the game developers are looking for. And that's, you know, a little bit of celebration and recognition of their hard work. And they didn't show that this year.
Yeah, from the at-home perspective,
mm-hmm. it was interesting. Yeah, I was about to ask about that. Yeah,
like I was writing down all like the winners, like for the TLDR, and like when he was going through like five at a time, I was like, oh shit, and like I had to pause, go back, and like re-listen because it was like that fast. He's like, and the categories are the winner, and like just move on to like a celebrity. The celebrities got like so much time. Like we didn't need to hear about, you know, foot injuries and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So just very quickly. So huge shout out to Haley Ellis. She actually, she wrote down, because I'm bored, I have nothing better to do with myself. I broke down exactly how the Game Awards 3-hour runtime was allocated. Winner speeches were 10 minutes. Musical numbers was 13.5 minutes. Award presenters was 26.5 minutes. Other presenters was 42.5 minutes, and trailers and ads were over in 28 minutes.
Yeah. For context, yeah. I was curious, and I just like threw in a document, like all the trailers and announcements. Mm-hmm. So there's 31 categories, right? Mm-hmm. There was over 85 trailers and announcements.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That is and wild actually, because there's so few that I think actually matter in the conversation of like walking away from that award show of like, was it worth it?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think you even mentioned, okay, yeah, 31 categories. How many actually of winners actually coming up on like stage?
Four. Like, I don't
yeah, remember. Yeah, it seemed like it was so like, okay, you know what? If you're going to, like, I understand you know, the each category is important to the people who are nominated. I mean, like I always kind of wonder still, like, why does he feel the need to you know, have include the esports category in there and the content creator category in there? But, you know, they're important to certain people. But like, it just seems like, okay, it's kind of, I think that the show has become so bloated that it's now the reckoning point of being like, you know what? The bubbles burst. You kind of need, you're far too packed in, and something needs to change, because it's getting worse and worse.
Well, I think what's surprising the most is that it's now become what Jeff got away from initially when he left Spike TV, where it was like the Spike TV Game Awards were so Hollywood to the point that Jeff was like, I'm done. I'm going to go do my own thing. Well, now we're just at the point where the snake's eating itself. And it's like, again, Steve, to your point, I struggle to even think about how you even course correct at this point, because the show is so big and so, the expectations are so high, especially because you do have to remove the objective opinion of everyone that goes and sits and pays for a ticket. You have to think about the millions that are watching from home. And it sucks to say, but a lot of them just don't care about the awards. So for you to say, for any of us to really say, okay, Jeff needs to concentrate on the award show, dedicate X, Y, or Z this amount of time to the award show, I just don't think that many people actually care about any of that. And that's a really sad statistic. So then you start thinking, okay, how do you allocate the time? How do you balance that? And it's like, I just don't even think that there's a way to do it.
No.
Yeah. I think because I was watching Kind of Funny today, they had like a very like amazing episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily, where like literally for an hour and a half they kind of were talking about it, along with, you know, the we'll probably get to it, the death of E3. But one of the things that they said is that, like, yeah, it's like put more awards into the actual game awards. Greg said it's like, yeah, but we have that. That's DICE, and nobody tunes in for DICE. Yeah. So that's the problem, is that it's just you try to be able to balance, like trying to be able to balance that out. And it, like, I think it just, in a sense, I mean, I don't even know what Jeff could do. I mean, he's already kind of basically said he'll probably or at least confirmed sort of to a degree that he would want to at least extend the winner speeches, because he did say he tried to do that during the show, but it, you know, didn't seem like it. But I can imagine that that's the easiest switch to be able to make, and, you know, just time the show around that. But I think he still thinks it's supposed to be a showcase. Like, it's there's no competition for him. So there's really like everyone will come to him to basically to present their games or their trailers. I think you said it right, Steve. Like, I think if it turned into a winter game showcase, then no one would bat an eye. Be like, oh, cool. Yeah. Hey, you know, December, we'll get to know what's coming up in the next year. That's great. But having it as an awards, just basically surrounded by a showcase, it kind of really doesn't fit anymore.
I think, and this is personally just me spitballing and everything, and I think the unfortunate thing that Jeff might actually end up having to do, to Sammy's point, going through that mind-boggling list of how many trailers or games were actually there, is for Jeff to just start saying no to things. Because I don't know, I can't count the amount of games. I was in that audience that was like, well, time to go on my phone because I don't care about this. There is such a low bar of, does everything need to be here?
Yeah.
Because when you deal with something as big as Hideo Kojima and Jordan Peele announcing their new game with an all-star cast, collaborating on Xbox and everything, and then you switch over to some, I apologize for being like super crass about it, but like some lower entry games and everything, it's like your momentum drops, your engagement drops from a viewership level. It's like, Jeff, at this point, can you just turn down a paycheck? I think that's honestly the only way to course correct, is just for Jeff to say, okay, we need just the best of the best at the Game Awards. That way we can A, pay the bills, keep the engagement, and see, just have the award show be something, like Steve, to your point, something that everyone watches, because again, DICE is what it is, but it's not the Oscars, you know, not everyone tunes in for that.
I mean, you could probably throw those games into the ad section, you know, if you wanted to. Like, you know, that's a break time. It'll still keep people's attention, be like, okay, this is clear an ad or something like that. But like, and just keep the heavy hitters for the main show. Like, yeah, you know, I mean, Skull and Bones just like they just snuck in.
Oh yeah, slipped the release date in there in the ad break.
I'm like, wait, this is an advertisement. Wait, what's going on here and everything? And I don't know. And like,
I mean, here's the thing. Yeah. Can we honestly, you know, name like all the games that basically were announced at the Game Awards? Like, there was so many that were so similar. Like, you had a very cyberpunk sci-fi feel this year that I'm like, a lot of those games are blending together in my head, other than, you know, the ones that stand out like Blade or Jurassic Park or Monster Hunter. Like, I couldn't tell you half of the games that were basically were announced.
And that's kind of my point, where I think that Jeff, that's kind of the threshold where Jeff has to now analyze the run of a show and be like, all right, maybe we got to cut X, Y, or Z in order to truncate the show, give the award winners some time to walk on stage and everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, to the point that Baldur's Gate 3 dropped on Xbox, no one knew about it. Because they just cut him off.
Well, we were confused about it too. We're like the ad was there, but it said it did not say Xbox at all.
Yeah, well, but here's the thing: he was supposed to say it in his acceptance speech.
It was supposed to be his moment.
Yeah,
and it was like,
but then please wrap it up. Threw him off. He's like, what? And then he just forgot. You know, like he threw off his game and everything. So,
I mean, he was sitting in that suit of armor the entire night. He probably was super probably super hot and be like, I just gotta get out of here.
Oh my gosh. do you feel like, for me, I personally feel we don't need the Hollywood presence. I will actually like to see people in our own industry go up and like, I mean, like Ed, like the only person I can remember was Ed Boon actually presented
from our Neil Druckmann was there, he presented.
I just feel like there needs to be more of like people who are actually in the industry, you know, being a part of the show. Like, I just feel like it's just like, well, Jordan Peele's there, and you know, or Matthew McConaughey is there, Anthony Mackie's there. Like, I'm like, what about, like, you don't really need, like, they're just there to present their own games or like something, mm-hmm. something that they're all involved with, which is,
I mean, you know, the response was because of like they had Al Pacino last year and he had nothing to basically to promote in games, so they just basically were like, okay, let's keep
playing it. That's it,
yeah, exactly. I mean, they did have some developers. I mean, Caroline Marshall, the head of the studio that Interior Night that makes As Dusk Falls, she presented Games for Impact because she won it last year. Like, so there is some developer presence, but you're right. I mean, I think it just like,
in the industry. People like, you know, you could have Greg Miller go up, for example, or
sure,
you know, or maybe, Steve, you know, going up for something.
You know, I appreciate it, as everyone, like, there's a lot of people said that like, you know, someone from community should have gone up. Yeah. There's been a lot of people that should deserve to be able to go up there, but Jeff will never choose those folks unless like you're kind of in that sort of big giant like echelon 1% of the gaming industry status. Like, if you're not a Phil Spencer or Reggie Fils-Aimé, you kind of really don't like matter as far as being able to be asked to be a presenter. Like, I think, he's had streamers up on there that have, you know, have huge numbers. It's basically, it's just whoever he can be able to get that's popular. That's who he brings up. Yeah. And that's kind of like, that has been the same MO since Spike TV days. Like, he's constantly always trying to be able to bring in the largest, like, people, the most recognizable people as he can. Granted, at the beginning, when he was doing on his own, it made sense. He wants to be able to get as much as many eyeballs as possible to be able to watch his show, so it can become sustainable, so that next year he can be able to charge more, he can be able to get more money, you know, expand and get bigger and bigger. But now it's at a point where he is the biggest game in town. Like, he is the only person in town that can be able to do this. Mm-hmm. And he needs to slow down, or there at least there needs to be another competitor, basically, to, you know, have another sort of type of showcase in December to balance that out, and or at least, you know, give him some innovation to want to be able to do something, you know, to change it. But like right now, he has no reason to be able to change anything. He has no reason to.
He's Vince McMahon. There's no other competition out there, and there's no other wrestling company, and he's like, well, why do I have to try?
Well, I do think that it's interesting. He hasn't said a peep today or the past 2 days. I mean, true. We're recording this on the Tuesday, and usually, and I could be wrong looking back historically, but typically by the Monday, him or the Game Awards account would come out and say, wow, we broke record numbers. Here's our stats of viewership and stuff like that. Not a peep. We'll talk about it in depth, but the whole E3 announcement and everything. Jeff would be so horny to drop
always
after that.
Yeah.
Like he has it drafted. He's ready to go. Not a peep from him today. And I think that is a damning reflection of the fact that he knows that he screwed up to a certain extent. And he knows that if that account or his personal account dropped anything, any kind of like snark or any kind of boasting, everyone in the
comments would have been like,
what are you doing? So I think that at this point, you know, he's smart to kind of just, you know, go back into the relegate to the shadows for a little bit or come out with some sort of statement. I don't think he will, but I think that that would be an appropriate thing of just, you know, coming out and say, okay, this is how I'm going to do better by next year. But who knows?
Yeah, he's been reposting stuff for the past. And then he tweeted about the day before the game, and basically just some of the stuff that has been, you know, talked about in the Game Awards, but it's almost as if he kind of wants to basically sweep it under the rug, or maybe he's under obligation to be able to tweet out only certain things. I don't know. I want to give Jeff the benefit of the doubt. I mean, it's like from all intents and purposes. Yeah. Okay. Like he has done well the past 10 years. He's been doing this on his own, and that's a big thing to do. I mean, he's a content creator just like us, and the fact that he was able to create this award show that is seen by millions across the world, and it always is increasing in number every single year. You know, you got to give him props for that. It's just right now the industry that he's trying to promote doesn't exist in the same way that it once was when he was sort of starting out. So it like the industry is changing. He's just not changing with it is basically kind of what it breaks down to.
Yeah. Absolutely. And again, I feel no ill will towards Jeff. I respect everything that he's done for it. I just feel like at this point in time, after this award show, this is when his duties and whatever he's trying to do is doing a disservice to the industry rather than trying to, pull it up, and especially in a year where so many developers were affected. We, you know, praise this year as being one of the best years in gaming, but he had the moment, he had the platform to kind of shine a light on everything that kind of went wrong this year and failed to do so, and failed to kind of give all the hardworking developers out there their moment in the sun rather than, you know, Timothy Chalamet who you know, got a skin in Call of Duty.
No, I 100% agree. And you know, I think since like signs of him not really, you know, coming out there and like being the snarky, like, oh, look at E3 gone, but make sure to tune in, you know, the Summer Game Fest and everything. You can tell he's definitely keeping an eye on that. That's something he's always been good with, is listening to feedback as well. So hopefully we'll see some change in the next year's show. But let's talk about the positives, I guess, of the game of the show. What were any announcements besides the ongoing category that should not have won?
Yeah, I was gonna say, did you guys get your drinks? Did you and Caboose get your drinks?
No, I haven't had an opportunity yet.
You have in your back pocket. Don't worry.
It will happen. It will happen. I give so my
parched,
word.
Steve. I'm so parched.
I you know, I am like, yes, I was wrong. You know, here's the thing though, is that. So the folks like, you know, okay, so the ongoing war went to Cyberpunk. Little did I know that the folks from Cyberpunk who went up to accept the award were sitting literally right in front of me. That happened. And no! I told Liana, who was my plus one, like about basically what happens. Like I've got a bet with my friend, like a drink bet with my friends, that basically like that ongoing the Cyberpunk won't win the ongoing category. I have no idea if they heard me. I have no idea whatever, but that was a bit embarrassing. But
so two great moments about that. One, and going back to, you know, how rapid pace all these announcements were for the winners. there was another moment, not an ongoing, community. And community, Cyberpunk was in there as well, I believe. And Caboose and I were like, oh no, Cyberpunk didn't win and everything. And it was going by so quickly that it took us like a moment afterwards. We were like, oh, that wasn't it at all. Yeah. That wasn't the category we lost at all. Yeah.
You and I had a moment, I think maybe that's what you're going to talk about, Bob. You and I had a moment where we thought they took David Diver out for the indie.
Yeah, that's right. did they just take
Dave out? Like,
there was another one, and they were just going so quickly.
There was the debut indie, and then there was like the overall indie.
But they're going so quickly. We're like, did they take Dave out? Like, wow, that's crazy.
The other moment pertained to the ongoing game award, where it's up there. It's the big screen. Me and Caboose are like waiting on bated breath just to hear that of the Cyberpunk, that first syllable to drop. And as soon as it did, we're cheering, we're high-fiving, and Marcel is one row in front of us to the right, and he does not even give us the satisfaction of a look over. He is just 1,000 yard stare in front of the screen, and he just shakes his head no. Time while me and Caboose are hooting and hollering, we're high-fiving. Camille is like, oh my god, she's losing her mind, and Marcel is just in disarray at that point.
This guy, and all the guy my next to me laughing. I was like, this is not even ongoing, it's finished.
I was sitting definitely away from you guys, so all I was catching up on was just the Discord chat of all of us kind of together, and I just kept seeing everyone be like in the chat, you know, like especially you and Steve and Aaron would like just high five each other like in there, and I just went fuck. That's all I said. I'm like, all right, damn it, okay. But I am my man of my word. I do promise I will get you both a drink. I tried to be able to get I was gonna get Caboose a butter beer. That was gonna be the deal. But when we went to Harry Potter and I was getting like we were gonna go, I wanted to go get some food and sit down and drink along with a butter beer. Aaron and Emily like, ah no, we're gonna go and check out some of the rest of the park. We'll catch up with you guys later. So I'm saying Aaron loses by forfeit and Steve gets it.
I'm sorry. He left you and didn't even grab a butter beer.
If he got it later, I don't know, but he did not get it with me.
So. Wow.
We got to talk to this man. This guy is unhinged. This is unhinged behavior.
We were hanging out the entire day. And the one time that I was like, hey, I want to go, sit down and get some food and a butter beer. He's like, he and Emily are like, there's some few things we want to check on the rest of the park. And we'll catch up a little bit later. And I was like, okay. I didn't even say anything. I was just like, okay, fine. Thin ice. Surprise you, but
turning
no.
Turning down butterbeer for shame.
By the way, screw that guy who made me move from that seat when it wasn't his seat, by the way.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. That was
silly. That guy was.
Yeah, that was silly.
A bunch of
us. Was he a seat filler?
I don't know who he is. So the people next to me, originally we were all sitting together because my seat was literally the row up and everything. I'm like, well, I'll just sit with you guys because it's just empty right now. And I feel like they're just always pumping in people throughout the show, no matter what. Like people
want to fill the spaces.
Yeah. So I did hear the lady say I bought the next two seats on the right. So those are my seats. But there's a third seat. And then so that guy, he was sitting in the wrong spot. And then he got up. He's like, oh, you're in the wrong seat. So I thought that was his seat. I'm like, okay, well I'll go back to my seat, which is in front and everything. And then he left the show.
Mm.
He didn't even see someone else sat there.
For half the show, my seat next to me where Marcel was sitting was empty. And then probably by the last, I don't know, third or quarter of the show, some dude walked over. He's like, hey, is this seat taken? And then the other guy next to me was like, no. I was like, what? I thought it was.
It's weird because it's like in the section here, like in the first like I guess probably 10 rows and like in the front, they're it basically was filled with seat fillers. There was constantly people going in and out, so that's why I thought like that maybe that was the same with you guys, and you know they're just kind of coming back to any seat that was available so they could stay in the auditorium. But and here's the thing too, you have no idea who's really who's sitting in anywhere, like whether you're a nominee, a prominent person in the industry, whatever. And here and this is the thing that kind of gets me every single, like when I didn't even know about this until literally 3 days later, because my plus one was Liana. We were both sitting beside a guy. We had no idea who it was. Didn't like, I was like, he kind of looks familiar, but I'm like, I don't, we just thought he was a seat filler. No, he was the global head of YouTube gaming.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, we did not say hi. We thought he was a seat filler the entire time. Like, that's just how weird the seating arrangement was for the Game Awards.
Yeah. To say. You don't know who, like, especially after you go to the JW, like, I don't know any of these people. I don't know who any of these people are and everything, but you don't know who's who is. For me, I would say the biggest highlight, well, actually, I have two, but like, I'm going to sneak it in. Senua looks absolutely amazing.
Oh, yes. Outstanding. Oh, that performance was so cool, too.
So good. The trailer for the game alone, thank God it's come to 2024. No actual release date, but like, hopefully they can stick to the 2024 release date, because I'm looking forward to that game. That game looks absolutely nuts. But for me, honestly, number one is Sega's announcement.
Oh, okay.
Five trailers in one. Oh, my God. Games,
Crazy Taxi, Streets of Rage, Golden Axe, Shinobi. Like, and I think Shinobi looks like the same people who did Streets of Rage 4. I think they're the ones doing Streets of Rage. But everything else is super early development. That was definitely the highlight. Like, those two, like, were definitely like, my highlights of this entire show.
And they said and more, so like, we have more, no idea what else.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Everyone speculated Virtual Fighter, because they recently came up with some new new arcade, they went back with the arcade with Virtual Fighter 3. So everyone just thought like, oh, it's gonna be a new era of like Virtual Fighter, but like, they're like, nope, here's five games. I'm like, what? Like, that was the case. Even bringing back the old school like Sega Scream sound and everything. I'm like, that was like, definitely my highlight. Was there anything else that any of you saw that you were like, oh, this is like my highlight for the show?
My highlight was living through all of you and like the people you got to meet. Like, Marcel was telling me selfies, like, oh, just met your favorite person. I was like, ah. So, and yes, like, seeing all of you guys dressed up, it was beautiful. Y'all looked very dashing. Aww. Camille was like, beautiful. Y'all killed it.
Oh, well, thank you. Yes, I saw him when I went back with Steve at the hotel, actually, the day before as well. Neil, he was there in the lobby as well. So,
Neil Newbin.
Mm-hmm. That's dope.
Yeah.
For me, I very on brand shit, but OD, love seeing Hideo Kojima go out there. You know, obviously, a lot of people speculated and even confirmed it on this podcast like a while ago. Like, he is working with Jordan Peele. I think those two auteurs working together in the gaming industry is awesome. I can't wait to, you know, see more about it. I think the concept of it almost being like a spiritual successor to what he was doing with PT and Silent Hills is awesome. Bringing in a pretty awesome cast, eclectic cast there, including like Hunter Schafer, which is really sweet. I just really hope that he can, again, be as weird as possible, just to the same extent that he is with Death Stranding. Like, I hope Xbox is like, you know what? Here's a bunch of money. You do you, man. We'll see you later. Yeah. Give him all the time he needs. Let him work whatever platform he's using for cloud gaming, and just kind of deliver some groundbreaking stuff. And I'm sure a lot, like Death Stranding, it's not going to vibe with everyone, but I don't think it should. I think that Hideo Kojima is one of those creators where he should just be allowed to experiment and kind of push the medium forward or side to side, whichever way, like, whatever. But yeah, the inclusion of Jordan Peele there is certainly interesting, especially, you know, now that he's had like a bunch of highly successful movies under his belt. I think it's a match made in heaven, so I can't see more. And then wait to hear more. But he's also talking about, you know, forming this Avengers coalition of other Hollywood people or cast members. I don't really know, but either way, dope as hell.
I'm in for it.
Absolutely.
Who shouts to Greg Miller for even calling that out? He's the only one I
found. Oh, he had it exactly, too.
Yeah. He had it exactly. Everyone was like, you cheated, you know, and the camera actually turned to him when he came out. And like, it was just absolutely amazing. But we trust you, Greg. We trust you. Go ahead, Sammy.
I will just say, as someone who was like, PT was my most anticipated game, and then it got canceled, and I was like, Yep. So disheartened, oh, and like God. To watch them come out of the PT door.
Yeah.
I was like, no way. So really excited.
Oh, and Sammy, I'm sure you'll be super interested in this. Have you seen the whole theories about like the letters on in their mouths?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wild shit, like, guys.
Oh,
absolutely mind-boggling. Yeah. Where I was like,
oh, I'm so excited.
I'm going down another blue box rabbit hole right now, and someone needs to save my life because I am in the thick of it.
Yep.
And just quickly, the other highlight, no surprise, but Herald of Darkness performed by Old Gods of
Asgard. Oh, my God, yeah.
That was incredible.
Amazing.
Sam Lake giving his all on stage. Yeah. Like, that just was so like, cool.
Bringing out the entire cast. And the actor,
cast. Too. Yeah, the whole cast.
Yeah. Both actors. Yeah, both actors.
Mr. Door and Alan Wake there.
Well, both Alan Wakes.
Yes, right. Yep. I thought it was everything I wanted and more from that performance. I you know, you had the vision of what you'd like that to be, kind of like the music video and everything. And I cannot compliment the production team more on just putting that together. That was exceptional. And kudos to Sam Lake and Remedy for all their wins during the awards. And then, you know, topping it off, you know, with that performance. I saw a really good tweet, and I really wish I remembered who it was by, but it was basically, you know, looking back 10 years ago where Sam Lake was put out a video, you know, apologizing to all the Alan Wake fans and be like, hey, listen, we just don't have the funding to do a sequel. Like, this is just kind of out of our hands. So instead, we're going to kind of like move forward with this other project, which turned out to be Quantum Break. And then flash forward now, he's going from dancing on stage to accepting awards. And it's like, holy shit, man. Like
That's wild.
Journey the studio has gone through. And then, you know, the fans as well. It's like, you can't wish for anything better. That is like one of the most like wholesome stories you can ever have out of the industry. And I compliment, you know, Remedy for sticking to their guns and...
Yeah,
it was really cool.
I think for me, the highlights was at least like games wise. Definitely, I'm interested in that Jurassic Park game, and obviously Marvel's Blade from Arcane. I remember was that what we heard rumors of, Steve, when we were chatting? Because I remember when we talked about it. That was it. Yeah. Okay.
So. Yeah, a little preface. I caught wind of this like days before I even got to the award show, and I was like, that makes sense. Like the stars are aligned. You know, you got Arcane, you got Blade. They're Dishonored people and everything. I was like, makes sense to me. And then as the day of, I heard like rumors like course correct, and they're like, no, it's just going to be Dishonored 3. I was like, that's disappointing, but I believe that. More in some way.
I'd take it though. Like, sure. Give me one.
I think they would have just as big of a pop as if they did. Yeah, Dishonored 3 versus Blade. But so
as soon as that trailer started and you see the cross like in the door and everything, oh hell yeah, we're in it, baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was cool. Like, and then seeing Dingo basically like with his giant like leather trench coat on stage, and I actually got a chance to see him afterwards, and he was like, he was so excited, like he was just like, you know, still like on cloud nine of the whole thing. So that one I'm definitely excited to be able to play. But I think probably the highlight for me, and I can never pronounce his name, but Abu Salim from who played Bayek from Assassin's Creed Origins, him coming out and announcing his game on stage. It was, I think it's Zao, I think, Tales of Kenzera, I think it was something like that. Yeah. So, and it was a partnership between like his studio that he created with EA Originals, and including Critical Role, which I now understand because I was invited to a party that was by Critical Role, and I now understand that was the party that was for this game. So it was. I just love the fact that like he had a personal story with this game, and it's such a like it's part of his heritage, and it's just it looks like Ori and the Will of the Wisps mixed with like African lore, and it hits that like oh man, this is what indie games are like, or at least, you know, like personal projects like can be able to produce is amazing art like that. And to see him to be able to like present it on stage and hearing his story, I'm just like, yeah, that's what we need more of, those moments at the Game Awards than necessarily Timothy Chalamet or, you know, seemingly talking about his, you know, broken Achilles or whatever.
But wait, you talk to God. You're not going to mention that you talk to God?
I mean, that was my own personal highlight. I just meant like that was like the Game Awards. But yes, I got to meet the Critical Role cast. almost all of them. Liam wasn't there, but I did see like, but like everyone else was there. Unfortunately, I didn't get to meet Marisha or Sam or Taliesin. But they were kind of like, you know, Taliesin was just kind of just off in the corner, you know, somewhere. But that was I did get to meet Matt, Travis, Laura, and Ashley, it was the best. It was just they were absolutely the Sammy. I'm telling you, as much as you would hope that they would be like in real life, everything is true.
I can't wait to give you a hug Matt the next Mercer, time I see you to like live vicariously like.
Matt Mercer is the kindest, most like compassionate person I have ever met. When we locked eyes, the first thing he came over to me and said, "Steve, it's so good to finally be able to meet you," and gave me like a big hug because we follow each other on Twitter. But I don't know why. I don't fanboy out too much. Like I'm usually pretty good at it, at being able to kind of hold that down, but still, you know, be like, you know, yeah. Offer, yeah, I'm a big fan kind of thing without embarrassing myself. But the thing that kind of blurted out when he said that, like, it was just like, I didn't even think you would know who I was. And he's like, "Are you kidding? I love the work that you do. Like you're doing amazing." Like he went off for like several minutes, just encouraging, like giving me like words of encouragement. Like, I really needed to hear that, Matt Mercer. Thank you. And we talked for like a good solid, like 10, 15 minutes about like just what he is. Like every single one of the people in the Critical Role cast are the nicest people you'd ever want to meet. And it just, it was so great. Yeah. I love those people.
That's awesome. One day, next year, Critical Role, yeah. I'm coming for you. In the nicest way possible. Nicest way,
yes, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, we got Matt Mercer. We walked by us, but I don't think the others even know. I'm like, Matt Mercer just walked by us because he was going. I think he announced what he had announced, he blitzed it. I think to where the area was, which by the way, that thing looked surreal and like they had it projected in the sky.
I didn't even see it. I didn't even get a chance to see the hologram in the sky. Damn,
it looked really cool. I was like, what is that thing? I'm like, because we were told that. Oh, something was built up there with Meta. And we're like, what?
Meta,
and
yeah.
Then it's just like two cranes are like, okay, nothing's there, whatever. But I realized it's like whatever it is, like the string or whatever it is, that's what it was. And like, it was just projected as like coming. I'm like, wow, this is cool. This is the future right here and everything. So,
that was dope.
Yeah, it was really dope and everything. And I've always heard good things about Matt Mercer. So congratulations, Steve. I'm very happy for you.
Thanks.
besides that, I mean, for example, today or yesterday, God of War Valhalla is free DLCs out today as well. That was a lovely surprise as well. Spider-Man didn't win anything. That was another surprise. I thought at least take away something. Besides that, I guess the Dragon Ball game, I had to throw out there as well, because that game looked nuts as well.
And I forgot about that.
This looks better than the show. Like, this game looks ridiculous. So that was another highlight there. Besides that, excited to see what 2024 has in store as well. They showed some more Final Fantasy VII Rebirth stuff as well. And it was just like, you had to like literally go back and watch it. And be like, what did I miss and everything? Because just being there, you're like, it's just like a whole blitz of thing and seeing people, like, it's just so much going on that you just like, after you sit down, you're like, wait, what did I just experience just now? You know? But I guess we shall move on to the next topic. The day before Scam, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know. Jesus Christ. Day before came out five days now. And it was a hot mess. It was nothing like what it was supposed to be, what we were seeing. I know sometimes when we see like a trailer for a game, you know, some things may not be what it is, but like it's close at least. But this one was absolutely horrible. I've saw some footages from content creators where it was like an enemy in front of them. And if you got close to the enemy, like the upper body will get like massive and everything, and they'll just be standing looking at you and everything, or a zombie will just run after you, but it'll just run right past you. You're like, wait, what's going on here? Or fall through the floor. It was a hot mess. But this game was very, very anticipated, and I think it was like they actually got a couple million dollars out of this as well. But they announced that the studio is actually officially closing down due to lack of funds. All income received is being mm-hmm. used to pay off all the debts to their partners. There was no indie funding, like crowdfunding or like nothing like that. These are the same people who made Prop Night and Wild 8, Dead Dozen. Prop Night's the only one I probably heard of out of this whole list right here. And I realized that, oh yeah, didn't they make Prop Night? And then, you know, the game was just abandoned a couple months after that. And so it seems like it was just like a quick turnaround. Like, let's just make as much as we can. And then like just abandon that game and then go to and just try it again in scenario. But now the studio is officially closed. You can't even download the game whatsoever. Like Steam has refunded everyone's money. Even though it doesn't matter how much you have played into it. And like I've just never seen this before. I completely forgot this game was actually even coming out, to be honest with you. When I saw the first trailer, I was like, wow, this looks really outstanding. But then like we see the final product. What are your thoughts about this?
I didn't even really think this game was real, to be honest with you. So I did when all the reviews came out and said it was already been out for 4 days. I was like, really?
I forgot. Yeah.
I was like, okay, the Last of Us clone was out. All right. Okay.
Yep. There was so much negativity on Twitter. Like that's all the feed was.
Oh yeah, my main feed was basically just everyone commenting on it's like it's the first 1 out of 10 that IGN's given in a decade. Yeah. Like, whew, you know, you screwed up when.
Yeah, it's just very interesting. I mean, just to see this whole studio kind of now defunct itself, and then the speed of which, you know, the CEO washed away like all his social media accounts and scrubbed the YouTube account. Yeah, I posted it in ours, our Discord. I was like, this has like Lyle Lanley energy, where you set up a subway or a
monorail.
And then you leave.
You're not gonna take a ride. Oh, I gotta go to Albuquerque, kid. Sorry, you know.
Yup.
It's kind of crazy, and I mean. Yeah, you just don't see this. Like, this is one of the most bizarre stories ever. Like. This comes off a year where you've got like Lord of Ring and the Kong game, and those are both looked at as like very poorly received kind of, you know, middleware games and everything. And then lo and behold, this comes out at near the end of the year, and it's like you guys went out of your way to just deliver a bad game, like and like most developers. 90% of them don't do that. Most of them try their hardest in earnest to deliver something at least that's playable, at least that's engaging and everything. But this team just, maybe not the team, but maybe the CEO and like upper management was like, nah, let's just get this out. Like it's maybe overly ambitious of them. And at some point down the pipeline, they were like, we just kind of have to put this on Steam and maybe it pans out as like a games as a service model where we can improve it over time and everything. Obviously that's not going to work. So
this game was in development for 5 years, and there was a lot of assets from like that you received from Unreal that was just not even it was just unchanged. Like it was just like literally copy and paste, here you go. And like it's just, I don't know, it's just, I've never seen. And maybe they try to use the timing of releasing this game, like they knew what's gonna happen, like, okay, let's just release it during like, you know, the Game Awards. There'll be a lot of commotion. No one will never know. A type of scenario will sweep under the rug. And man, this news was trending. It's still trending now for me, at least, unless my Twitter is borked or something like that. But it's still trending about like just like how fast everyone's trying to get a refund and everything. Like there's certain creators who don't even like comment. Like Cole Carnage, he was like, give people back their money right now. Like this is absolutely trash and everything. And I've never seen something like this happen before. No. To be honest, usually a bad game will just release and that's it. You know, sorry, Sammy.
I read something that like not everyone's able to refund or something like that either. So I don't know.
Now they are. Now
like, okay. Steam,
yeah. Before because okay. if you played more than 2 hours. Like on Steam.
Oh, the Steam thing. Yeah.
But then since there were so many, like Steam's like, okay, no, everyone can get like a refund and everything. And like they I think they made like they mentioned like how many people were playing. It was like 50 or like 1,000 people playing this game, and like so wow. They easily made like over a couple millions and everything. And like you said, Steve, his whole account is like gone. Like you, like there's no way of contacting him. Like this is literally like a Simpsons episode happening right now. And I just never seen this happen before. It's wild to me. So, but with sad news, E3 has officially kicked the can. We all knew it was coming. And I wish I've never been to E3. It was something on my list, and I always like, it's just one of those things where you're like, oh yeah, I'll go next time. It's always gonna be right there. And now I'll never have that chance. And you know, it's sad to see that. Something that you like, you know, obviously growing up, you've seen this event happening, and it now is just permanently gone and canceled and just gone forever. It's kind of sad. And like the one thing that E3 has, like, even though yes, it was getting worse from each year. One thing it did bring gamers together during a week. It kind of like, hey, you're guaranteed to hear something from Nintendo, Sony, or Xbox, during a certain week. And now like. Yeah, it's great. Everyone is just taking their own control and being like, okay, let's just announce this when we want to announce this. But it kind of brought everyone together, and it's a huge celebration. And that's something I'm going to miss. That like during this week, I knew this is going to be an amazing week for all of us, because here's like so many announcements from this studio or this company. And that's something I'm going to miss. That's something that E3 has brought and everything. What is everyone's feedback on this?
Like you said, yeah, like you said, it was coming a mile away. Yeah. And yeah, I wasn't surprised. I'm also sad I never got to go. It was definitely on my list eventually, just to like live in that moment. But also, if we went at this point, it wouldn't be like that moment anymore anyways. So hopefully something else comes around that's like equal to, but we'll see.
Yeah, I've always kind of wanted to do something at E3, and I was lucky enough that I did get to go literally at the last one in 2019. I didn't get the full experience. It was basically, I was there for like a day and a half, and it was the last day and a half of E3 when kind of all the showcases had been done and all the special events kind of stuff that had kind of gone. It was basically just the public that was, you know, walking around. But then even the people that I did get to meet, and or at least, you know, the peers in our industry, they kind of already were wiped out because they've been there for over a week, just covering E3. So yeah, I didn't get the full E3 experience, but I did get to see it, at least the last hurrah, as it were. But it is still sad. It's like there's several things I still always kind of wanted to do. I wanted to be in those rooms with like the big showcases, like you know, seeing the Keanu Reeves coming out on stage at Xbox for Cyberpunk. Like that would have been cool to be in the room for. And those moments are you know, we could still essentially get those moments in like Summer Game Fest or whatever. But it just, yeah, it is sad. It's an era of the video game industry that has lasted for 25 years, and there's folks that have been in every single one, and then there's folks that, you know, like us, that either just only got to go to one or didn't even get a chance to go at all. And it's sad because it's, you know, it's always seen as like a rite of passage when you want to work in this industry. You go to E3. That's kind of like one of those like tentpole moments or tentpole things you get to do in this in your career. And now there's nothing going to be like it anymore. I think you know, we talked about Jeff and, you know, his showcase, and then obviously, you know, he runs Summer Game Fest that is essentially trying to replace E3. But even still, it's like it's not going to have the same, like, you could call it E3. You can even just change the name and literally call it E3, but it won't be the same as it once was.
Yeah, much like, you know, you and Marcel, Sammy, I've never been. Never. I almost had the chance to go in 2017, but it just didn't pan out. And then I think it was the last year that, you know, you had your Xbox, PlayStation, Nintendo all kind of do their own showcases. Then, you know, PlayStation dropped off and then stuff like that happened where I was like, I don't want to go if it's not going to be the real experience. And then, you know, year by year, it just became more and more clear, especially over the pandemic, where it's like, oh, this just isn't coming back. And so the news today, today's news, or, you know, that E3 is just kind of dead and gone, it doesn't really bother me, because E3 to me has been dead for years at this point. Even I think it was, what, 2021, when they had their online show and you created like your weird avatar and it never looked like anyone. It was very freakish. Yeah. At that point, I was like, okay, we're losing the plot at this point. Like, this just cannot exist in its current state, you know. But I've been kind of like reflecting on it, and I'm just more or less happy that we're not completely foregoing the E3 experience. We do have other things, you know, we have Summer Game Fest, we have Gamescom, we have PAX and stuff like that. We even have the Game Awards now to kind of fill in the blanks and kind of give us, you know, micro doses of the E3 experience throughout the year. And I think in the long run that might end up being better. I think there's going to be definite growing pains and stuff like that. But I think in terms of where the industry is right now and where it's going into this like all digital ecosystem and stuff like that, I would much kind of rather Xbox kind of own their messaging, own the day and everything, host their own show and all that, versus whatever we got at the end of E3. I mean, obviously I would have loved to see E3 back in full force, like the perfect product, that perfect 4-day or 3-day event where everything kind of lined up and everything, but that was never coming back. As soon as PlayStation pulled the plug on that, that was the final nail in the coffin, as far as I was concerned.
It never
replicated that feeling of, you know, having Xbox in the morning and then PlayStation at night. That was the perfect day, whether or not you were there or not. Like that was the Super Bowl for us nerds, right? You whether or not it was on a weekday or not, it was just, okay, lock down and just get ready for an unbelievable day of announcements. And then PlayStation left and it was like, okay, well, I guess Xbox is still there, and then the day after it's Nintendo, and maybe Ubisoft's in there in the middle or something, but it just never felt the same. And it just quickly, year after year after year, just kind of diminished that value proposition as far as, you know, an audience member. And yeah, at this point, I'm just kind of okay with it as it is. I mean, yeah, I don't feel too bad that I never got to go, because it just never was going to be what I wanted it to be.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. It wasn't how it was before. Like you know, watching G4, like, you just knew, like, right, these 4 days, like, locked. No one talked to me. I'm locked in. You know, I can't wait to play this and everything like that. And it wouldn't have been the same E3 that if we were to go to like the one like now. And I definitely agree with that. I just hope that, you know, with Summer Game Fest or whatever that turns out, that it all happens in, like, at least in a, like, the same time frame, instead of like all spread out. Because it did bring everyone together, and it was like a huge celebration, and I found, and it was just a great couple of days where people could just like discuss and like nerd out about, like, wow, did you see this trailer? Did you see that one? Or what does Nintendo have up next and everything? And and like, we saw like a lot of great announcements coming out from E3, and hopefully that's something we could still replicate in the future. So
there was one specific year, and I think I'm trying to go back, and maybe it was 2021, where I think that Xbox was on the precipice of like figuring out the entire situation, where they had their showcase, and then right after they had like this whole like ID at Xbox demo, online demo showcase thing, where you at home could go through and download like all these demos for indie games that were shown throughout their event. And I think moving forward, that is a brilliant thing to do, is just work with the publishers, like the console makers or even Steam or something, and just say, okay, I'm Ubisoft, I'm announcing Prince of Persia, Lost Crown, or whatever. The day after, everyone can just download the like a 30-minute demo or whatever. Yeah. Just exactly what these publishers would bring to a showroom floor, just put it out online for people for 5 days or something. I think that is in my opinion, the best way of like circumventing all this stuff that
I think kind of lies actually, in the ashes. I think you know, actually Summer Game Fest does have that, or at least a version of that.
A version
I
don't
think
of it, yeah.
Yeah, so I think like that, like, yeah, I agree with you. I think having... like having that available for those, like, hey, you know what, try out this demo right now. It's it's actually kind of, it's really cool because it's like, yeah, it's not a shadow drop of like, hey, and the game is available right now, right. But it's you still get to try it out as much as like anyone else who was there, like in person, gets to try it out. Because that's with Summer Game Fest, like their play days are, it's a really cool event. It's basically, get to, you know, same thing. It's like they have like a warehouse that has like a show floor essentially that has a bunch of games you can be able to try out from that were announced at Summer Game Fest, and it's really cool. But also it's like, yeah, it'd be really cool to be able to have that, a version of that at home too. And I mean, I don't know if that's, you know, it's, I know I've heard stories, you know, it's very hard to be able to kind of crunch to be able to get a demo ready, yeah, for E3, and I'm sure the developers are kind of like that, like they definitely don't want to put through that kind of crunch anymore just to have that. But I don't know if it's possible and they're able to do it, and it's doable within the teams themselves to be able to kind of dedicate resources to it. Yeah, I agree. I think getting the internet, or at least the, you know, the gaming industry, like, or at least the, you know, general gaming public to be able to get to join in on that, at least a version of E3 to a certain degree, I think, yeah, I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I know Devolver, they actually had like a whole like an arcade that one year, like, mm-hmm, all like that, like they had their own E3 announcement, and they're like, okay, you could download like a Devolver arcade, and every game they announced, you were actually able to play that. Like, it was, and like the arcade was like you could actually run around and be like, walk up to like the little arcade booth, right, and everything. Yeah, mm-hmm, they did that one year, and I found that was a fantastic experience. I don't know if like bigger companies, they don't want their games to be out there for people to download temporarily, yeah, or like, because then, you know, people be spoiling or try to hack their way to see like, well, what else other assets can I find in here and everything, you know,
right,
you know, the same way how people are now spoiling Wolverine currently right now. So so, but no, I do like that experience though, like especially like if you can't attend the event, at least you could still get the experience back at home at least. Yeah. So,
and I mean, you know, not that I've been to Summer Game Fest either, but, you know, Marcel, you and I went to Day of the Devs, which, yeah, from what I've heard from, you know, Steve and other people here, were that it was kind of like this mirror project that kind of replicated that Summer Game Fest experience. And I mean, if it's laid out like that, I'm down with that. I yeah, thought it was a great way of kind of going, trying out a bunch of demos for upcoming games, talking to the developers there. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a great alternative to whatever E3 was back in the day.
100%. I definitely agree. Yeah, that was I think it's even held in the same building where,
yeah,
as well. So that was definitely a great experience for sure. But yeah, pretty much that is anything else that you want to bring up from this past experience, past week, a couple of days?
Next year we should all go
yes,
and have and like dress accordingly.
I love that idea.
All right.
And then I'm very much on board with that for sure.
And we'll get you to meet Matt Mercer as well, Sammy.
Yeah. Oh,
that is our main objective, you know.
All right.
We got Doug this year.
Whatever.
Guys, I can't act too excited. I'm gonna get like a restraining order before we go next year. Can't do that.
Preemptively,
yeah.
A restraining order.
Already, yeah, arresting herself before she even planned the trip and everything.
Yeah,
that's wild. But wait, I think it's December 12th is the next one. Is
December 12th? Yeah. 12th? Yeah.
Okay, I thought it was that's the 10th. Right.
Year from today, Jeff.
Jeff.
See you there.
Interesting.
We'll also, just saying that is literally trailers. I've been waiting for the Game Awards to line up exactly at my birthday because it's always the week before, and this time it's literally the day before. So I'm like, yes,
there you go.
So next year's gonna be good.
Maybe the leap year will screw you over, Steve. You might want to double check that.
Let me check.
They already did. It was like technically my birthday's on Wednesday this year, but now it's, or next year it's on a Friday, so it already skipped Thursday. Yeah, I'm screwed. Yep.
All right.
I waited a whole 7 years.
I waited 7 Game Awards for this opportunity.
Yep.
Sammy, what you got going on for you this week?
I'm going to try to stream this weekend because I miss streaming so much. So if you guys are around, check me out on twitch.tv/petaspants. And if you don't see me around, harass me on Instagram and Twitter and tell me to stream.
You heard her.
Anything you're playing particular or?
Ooh, I maybe Avatar.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm still working through my review for that one. So
I haven't even touched it yet.
I only played 1 hour of the game, so I'm backed up. It's bad. Steve Stander, how about yourself?
Besides the birthday. I think I might actually stream on my birthday tomorrow. I haven't fully decided yet. I got we'll see. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm just basically just winding down for the holidays at this point. So, follow me online. You'll see what I'm doing.
All right. Sounds good. Steve V.
This is a busy week because I'm off to Colombia next week. Hell goodbye, yeah. Everyone. This is my last episode of the year. So I have a whole bunch of stuff going out and prep for this next week, tomorrow or the day that this episode comes out. Published an interview with streamer Valkyrie, who has a role in an Apple TV Plus movie called The Family Plan with Mark Wahlberg. It's just an interview talking about, you know, the representation of gaming and streamer culture in mass media today. So it was an interesting kind of discussion I had with her. I'm also putting out one or two features on the ROG Ally, which I've been putting an extensive amount of time into. Mm-hmm. And then looking to get a video out for Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown, which a lot of us played last week.
Yeah.
Last week, the week before. What is time, anyways?
I think by now our coverage will come out when this episode comes out. So
that's right. Yeah. Again, I don't know. Sure, I believe you. That's about it. So to all the audience out there, happy holidays. Happy New Year, and I'll be back on the show in 2024 if I make it that long. I don't know, who knows what'll happen.
You're gonna have so much coffee. Are you excited for the coffee down there?
Yes, I'm very excited. Maybe I'll go back to Coffee Land down there because they have a really righteous amusement
can you bring some back for those of us?
Probably. Funny anecdote, the last time I was there in 2018, I brought so much coffee back that it looked like I was smuggling cocaine.
Well, we don't want you to have to do that. We want you to come back to the country. So
exactly.
I'll bring some back for you guys, and we'll have a little coffee date.
I love that. That's gonna be great.
Sammy was losing her mind over Valkyrie. By the way, she's like, "What, you man?"
She's like the nicest human being.
She is very nice. Yeah. Look out for that.
Hell yeah. For me, same thing. I'm trying to go through Avatar. But this Friday I will be on, I don't know when they're gonna announce it, so I'll announce it here first. I'm gonna be on Twitch's public access
exclusive world premiere, super excited to be
hanging out with Mary Kish and Ray Apollo on Twitch public access around 3 o'clock our time. They put everything in PT, so I'm like, what? When do I have to be there? So let's just say be prepared at 2 o'clock. So but it is happening this Friday on the 15th. Super excited.
Oh, that's so cool, man.
Yeah, super excited to end the year with them and talk about whatever they have me to talk about. I have no idea yet, so we'll figure that out. So maybe they're gonna
talk about the podcast.
They're gonna tell me I'm banned off the platform. They're like, yeah, you're off. This is actually a jury committee.
So that would be you're leaving Twitch to go to Kick? Is that what you're saying right now?
I can never go to
Rumble.
I'll just make my own platform or something like that. I don't know. So. But that's
Mixer. I'll call it Mixer.
I'm gonna bring back Mixer once again. So, but we'll see everyone else here next week. Have a good one, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.